The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Lotus Place Radio Show, and we are so happy that you are here with us on this evening. It is June, going into July, June the 29th. Oh my goodness, we are going into the so-called holiday weekend, Independence Day, if you celebrate Independence, America's Independence Day. I know we'll have, oh my God, on Facebook, I've already been seeing people posting pictures of people in the flag outfits, you know, with the little American flag shirts and American flag shorts and socks and hats and the sets and your 4th of July test. But, you know, now I remember back in the day, we can't clown everybody like that. Well, I mean, I guess you can clown them a little bit because by now you should know what's up. But, you know, back in the day, hey, you had to have that 4th of July outfit. You know you did. You know you did, Feather Lights. You know you had yours because I had mine. And you listening, you know you had yours. You probably have yours already still. Some picked out ready to wear for the weekend. And oh, my God, with the 4th of July being on Monday, that means people have to find something to wear all weekend. That's more money spent. I know they love it when the 4th of July comes on a Monday because people need to buy something for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday. And they need to buy food for the whole weekend, you know. So, Lord, they're making a bank off of this holiday this time in 2016. Boy, they're making a bank. Lord have mercy. So yeah, so Independence Day, I always like to read Frederick Douglass's speech, What's the 4th of July to the Negro. It's very long, but it's quite interesting. But you know, everybody's going to be, all of the new conscious people, they're going to be clowning everybody on Facebook. Yeah, and y'all celebrating 4th of July and you just celebrated 2 years ago. Now you want to talk about everybody else. Shut up. Have a seat.
All of a sudden, they're conscious.
All of a sudden.
Like non-smokers, like people who quit smoking. You know that's bad, but you were just smoking last year.
Right. You were just smoking last year. Or those alcoholics and pimps and, you know, people that's been in
not
the streets
the
and all of a sudden. All of a sudden, they find Christianity. Now they want to talk about everybody else.
Right.
Ooh, Lord, how much.
Damn, I'm going to hell. yeah, you know, the Bible says so and so. Oh, you was just, man, sit down. Oh, my God.
Couldn't get you in the church 2 years ago.
And look, if you walk by the church, the brick started trembling. You so full of hate and hell. You know? I just thought about that because we're driving to Memphis this weekend to go and visit our family, and Lord knows they love to do a big 4th of July and barbecue celebration in Memphis. So, and I know those Memphis people are going to have their 4th of July set on. I can't wait. I'm going to make sure that I have my phone ready to snap some pictures of the red, white, and blue. I will be ready. Yes, indeed. Yes. Look, King B on the line. I know King B has his 4th of July outfit ready. Yeah, you see, yeah, 4th of July.
He got it.
King B.
Listen, y'all. I don't know what kind of water you all drinking where you're from, but I know I didn't. I have no reason to be excited about 1776, July 4th, 1776. We were in chains.
Mm-hmm.
Black people do not have not one observance of a day of mourning commemorating something that was most profound since we've been on these shores. Even when we were betrayed by the Republicans, who couldn't deal with the Democrats in the South, telling them that the proviso was that they never would talk about ever seceding the Union, they would pull the Union troops out of the South that was guaranteeing black people their Reconstruction rights, and then they told the Republicans in the North, now let's hear the two parties now. The Republicans in the North told the Democrats in the South they could do to the blacks whatever they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the lynchings began and the Klan began doing their thing. And
still doing it to this day.
Hey, there's a chapter in the latter part of the book called Black Reconstruction in America by the father of sociology, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois.
W.E.B. Du Bois.
The chapter's called Back to Slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And we never recovered from the loss of our Reconstruction rights. And see, if we had a zealous lawyer, but he's banned from the courtroom because he was just that good, and he would win 99% of his cases using the Constitution. This is the name of Alton Maddox. And he would even put his client on the witness stand. He would just use the client for the prosecution and to prove to the jury his client was innocent. But what we need is a lawyer like Alton Maddox, who's a social engineer, to sue the socks off of the Republican Party, because it's because of their betrayal of the black people in this country, taking away our Reconstruction rights for fear of a second Civil War, because blacks was rising too fast as far as white folks were concerned. They took away our Reconstruction rights, and the best years of our lives was during the Reconstruction period. The worst years of our lives was post-Reconstruction and pre-civil rights. Now we never had human rights considered as we were considered as human beings, so they give us civil rights, which is a civil rights act that has to be renewed every 25 years for the right to vote. Every 25 years, and we still don't get it. If we were citizens of this country, you would have to have a bill. I mean, not a couple of bills. Too bad it wasn't a bill, but we got an act. And Dr. King, God bless him, he meant well, but he didn't want to rock the boat. Well, no, he didn't tell LBJ, no, I ain't going for no civil rights act. I want a bill. A bill is perpetual, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
No one can take your rights away once you have a bill. Irish, Italian, and Israeli, the three I's, they didn't stop until they got political and legal protection. We out there celebrating coming the 4th of July, and there's nothing to tell me that we are better off under a black president in the Democratic Party They want us to come off the plantation, go to the voting poll, pull the lever for Mama Hillary, and we don't have no record that she was ever our friend. What the hell is wrong with our brains, other than the fact that we have been so psychologically damaged? We reward our enemies and punish our friends. I'm not saying Bernie Sanders is our friend. I can't say he's our friend because he's 70. How old is he? 74 years old. And all this time, he didn't know that we were in a country that was had betrayed his constitution. And now he's no longer talking about a political revolution. You notice, he's talking about restructuring, or shall we say, reforming the Democratic Party. How are you going to reform a house that's burning?
Mm-mm. You know, that's one thing that Assata Shakur talks about. You can't reform this.
No, there's no
reforming. You know what I'm going to do, King B? One, maybe next week, we will play one of Alton Maddox's full lectures.
We will do that
because he is such a great brother. I wish that we could have him to come on the show, Candy. Can you contact him and ask him, can he come on the show for us?
Well, we have had our disputes, and I will not say yes. And we had our differences, and right now I just respect the man for what he has done in the past. It was an egregious offense that I'll tell you about another time, Rashad.
Okay.
But we're talking about a man that didn't lose his license. Still got his license to practice law. We got a good case that I know he would take this case pro bono and would have gotten the young man mercy, not justice. The young man lit a mattress in a hallway of a housing project out there in Coney Island. His name is Marcel Dockery. Was bored, and he just didn't think about the consequences of his actions. He lit this mattress in the hallway, and the mattress flame began to go so fast it was out of his control. So by the time the police officer came up on the floor, not the fireman, now mind you, now the fireman didn't come up on the floor first, it was this police officer who had no fire apparatus, no fire retardant equipment, nothing on him to even keep him from inhaling the smoke poisoning from the mattress. He ends up getting killed. This young man is taken to trial, and the trial ended where he's found guilty on all four counts. But check this out now. The juror said they knew the young man didn't mean to do it. It was an accident. And they wanted him, the judge, to go easy on him. All right? Now, this is the same Chinese judge that presided over the case of the Chinese killer cop. Every Chinese leader or would-be leader in the Chinese community came to the Borough Hall president office, Eric Adams, who I believe is going to run for mayor. And the Borough president of Borough Hall was playing politics. Even the DA, Ken Thompson, betrayed the family of the brother who was shot and killed in the hallway by this Chinese cop in the stairwell in the Pink Housing Project. Dirty.
A Ty Gurley.
He was given, the DA gave the family the facade that he was going to be right on with the juror's decision that was a just verdict. This same DA went behind the family's back and said publicly to the press conference, he wants the Chinese cop not to do any time in jail. He wanted him to get maybe community time or house arrest because it was an accident. This was the DA of Ken Thompson. It was an accident. He didn't say a mumbling word about this young man, Dockery. I couldn't find that one influential person, including clergy, to help me get to the head of the judge who did indeed do just what I feared he would do. Through the book of this boy, young man, rather, he got 20 years to life. And you know, the jail system in this part of the United States, or I should say the jail system south of the Canadian border, is so medieval, where you come out of jail, and this state of New York even, you come out of jail worse than what you came in.
Indeed. Certainly do. Canton, so how old was the young man, King B?
No more than 19 years old.
You know, if they had not closed all of these community centers that were once open, then these young people would have somewhere to go. They would have maybe had someone that could have been a great advisor for them to guide them in the right direction.
Thank you.
Giving these young children something
to
do, somewhere to go, then he would not have been bored.
Thank you. I mean, his father's probably not functioning. His mother's probably overwhelmed with her issues, being a mother and a woman. You know, it's very difficult when you got woman problems, then you're trying to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very difficult. People don't
speaking
understand.
Speaking of which, Canton, let me share this quick story, King B and Featherlight. Back in my hometown in Memphis, there was a young man. He has a mother that has maybe some type of mental issues. And so apparently they didn't have much at all. They were just pretty much living in destitute. So he went to this Kroger, Featherlight. He went to the Kroger on Highland, right up the street from where we used to live. And he said that he wanted to go over to the rich people's Kroger so that he could take out the groceries for people, you know, help people put their groceries in the car, and they would give him a tip. You remember, like, when you used to go to the grocery store and the sackers would bring your groceries to your car,
right,
and you give them a dollar
right.
or something like that.
That's right. That's
so
right.
He was trying to do that, which I truly respect. The young man is out here trying to, you know, pick up some change by doing something
right.
versus just having his hand out. So he was hungry.
Right.
So he asked this young white guy who happens to be a musician in Memphis, he asked him could he load his groceries into his car and could he possibly give him some money so that he could buy some donuts because he was hungry. Mm. So after speaking with the young boy, I can't remember his name. I should have pulled up the story. But after speaking with the young man, the musician found out that the young boy is an honor student, and he's taking care of his mom. So he took the boy back into the grocery store, bought him all kinds of groceries, took him home, and that's when he saw that the mother, you know, she's having some difficulties. They didn't have anything. Him and his mother are sleeping like on sleeping bags in their home. I think in Memphis, 47%. Of the children are living in poverty in Memphis. 47%, predominantly black town where we had predominantly black city council, all that crap. And so anyway, so the man started a GoFundMe page for the boy and his family. So I think I'll look up his name. So that he started a GoFundMe page so that they could try to, you know, buy some food, things for the home, and possibly a new home.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have over $200,000 on their GoFundMe page.
Wow.
So I'm going to look up that name so that if you want to donate to their family so that they can be able to move into a new home and have some furnishings for their home. You know, I know the $200,000, that's quite a bit of money for them to be able to, you know, get on their feet and get started, but you know they're gonna need some continuing help.
Check this out now. The local representatives that many times are black, many times they are Democrats. They have utter contempt for their poor constituents. 48%. That is beyond a state of emergency. That's beyond a disaster. That is just unconscionable inhumaneness. That you would be a pastor in an area where you have such immense poverty.
Exactly.
And a lot of these pastors that are in these wannabe megachurches or megachurches, they don't want to hear no bad news about what is really going on with the poor people that cannot come to that church because they are required to give X amount of dollars in the offering plate. Very much ashamed to come to church wearing clothing that don't look right, because you see these high profile blacks coming there. They come into that area just for an hour or two, but they go back into the area where they feel more comfortable living large in the woods somewhere, some gated community where they can, they are permitted to live. But they don't associate with those poor people. They have no mission. Imagine a church, a missionary church without a mission. You know, it's not, it's not on the, it's not a missionary. It doesn't have a mission to deal with the immense poverty right next door to the church, right behind the church. It is so indicative of why the black church has become useless after being rendered clueless. They have utter disdain for their people, and it's no wonder why the poverty is so immense in the black community, because they've been neglected for so many decades. And you want to see, not only in Tennessee, on down there in the Delta area of Mississippi, slavery is alive and well, and the people are so afraid to even talk about leaving the plantation.
Yeah. Let me give out this young man's name. His name is, he's 16 years of age. His story has even made it to the Washington Post. This has become a national story. Chauncey Black. And he approached Matt White at the Kroger grocery store in Memphis, asking if he could help carry his bag in exchange for a box of donuts. I know exactly where that Kroger is. That's the one that we used to go to. I live like, what, two blocks from there? Right behind that Kroger, pretty much. So instead of just parting ways with him, just giving him a dollar, whatever, he took him on the shopping spree, bought him a little bit of everything, chips, pizza, vegetables, melons, pasta, toothbrushes, soap, peanut butter, and Chauncey explained to him that he was trying to help his mother pay rent. That's why he was out there trying to raise some money. And but he's a straight A student, and let me see if they have his GoFundMe page up. Let me see.
How do you spell his first name again?
Chauncy.
C-Y, okay.
And it's called Chauncey's page. If you Google Chauncey's page or Chauncey Black.
Yes,
you should be able to get to his GoFundMe page. But before we go to break, I want to make note of a few headlines. Gosh, there's just been so much that's been happening over the past week. Yesterday was an attack at the Istanbul airport. There was a bombing that took place there. I'm not sure what the body count is as of now.
I think what makes this attack, for the year so far, I think they've had previous numerous attacks in the past this year at the same airport.
Same airport. Let me just play this quick clip and then we'll get into some other ones.
Security camera footage shows the moment a blast rips through an arrivals hall at Istanbul's Atatürk Airport after three suicide bombers killed and wounded many inside.
Someone next to us got shot, and we saw the bomb in the X-ray explode. Everyone around it died in the blast. I got up and looked through the window to see the shooting.
People were very badly injured. Like, one guy had holes in his back from shrapnel.
As emergency workers swooped down to help the wounded, amateur footage showed scared travelers inside taking shelter however they could. Police are thought to have reacted fast, firing on the attackers before they reach a security checkpoint in the arrivals hall. One of the bombers is said to have had open fire with a Kalashnikov and then detonated an explosive device. Turkey's prime minister blames the Islamic State group for the attack.
Güvenlik güçlerimizin yaptığı tespitler Our security forces investigation indicate that the terror attack was carried out by Daesh. I can say that there are security officials among the injured, probably foreigners too.
Flights in and out of Ataturk were quickly cancelled. It's Turkey's largest airport and a major regional transport hub. Turkey's been facing a major security challenge in the last year from...
All right, a major decision has been handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court. I want to take you now to Washington and Wolf Blitzer for more on that. Hi, Wolf.
Thanks very much. This is a very important decision involving affirmative action at universities in the United States. I want to go to Pamela Brown, our justice correspondent. Pamela, you've just gotten word on this decision involving the University of Texas, their affirmative action program. Tell us what the Supreme Court justices decided.
That's right, Wolf. The High Court upheld the affirmative action program at the University of Texas. The justices said that race can be taken into consideration as one factor during the college admissions process at the University of Texas. This is the second time that this case has made it to the High Court, and it revolves around the student Abigail Fisher, a white woman who sued the University of Texas claiming discrimination because she was white. Under the Texas Affirmative Action Program, 10% of the top students in their class are automatically admitted to any public university in Texas. And then on top of that, race is taken into consideration for students admitted after the 10% is accepted. And so the student Abigail Fisher was not accepted to the University of Texas, and she claimed it was because she was white. But today, the High Court is saying that this program is constitutional under the Equal Protection Clause.
To the West Coast now, where several people were stabbed at a rally on Sunday in front of the state capitol building in Sacramento, California. The melee began when 30 protesting members of a white supremacist group were greeted by 400 counter-protesters. Law enforcement is now trying to piece together the day's events and figure exactly who is responsible for the violence. RT correspondent Brigida Santos joins me now live from Los Angeles with the latest. Brigida, this rally was started by members of the Traditionalist Worker Party. What were they protesting?
Anya, the Traditionalist Workers Party members were protesting against globalization and expressing public concern over the state of their race, which they say is being threatened by the federal government, as well as educational, religious, and cultural institutions. According to the party's website, the state at various levels institutes policies that put European Americans at a disadvantage by guaranteeing members of other races advantages that European Americans have to support with their own money and property. Going into the protest, members of the Traditionalist Workers Party, who were also joined by members of the Golden State Skinheads, said that they did expect to be outnumbered about 10 to 1. And that's exactly what happened when between 300 and 400 counter-protesters, many of whom identify as anti-fascists, showed up in order to protest against what they say is, quote, Nazi scum. A lot of these protesters were also pro-Mexican groups, and that's when things got really ugly. Cell phone videos taken during the protest showed people hitting each other with sticks and rocks, throwing pieces of concrete at each other, and that's when people got hurt. At one point, one of the Traditionalist Party worker members did get stabbed in an artery, as well as another member got hit in the face. About 10 people in total were hospitalized, five of whom did get stabbed, but they are all expected to survive, Anya.
That's some good news out of all this, but we only have about 30 seconds left. Has anyone been arrested?
No one's been arrested, and that's because all of the protesters, for the most part, were dressed in all black. They were covering their faces with masks and bandanas in order to conceal their identities. So right now, law enforcement is still looking into the incident and trying to figure out who's responsible for the stabbings, Anya.
All right, Brigida Santos in L.A., thank you for keeping an eye on that.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, so those are just a few news updates. In reference to that Supreme Court decision, I remember last week when that decision came out, as well as the one with the officer, I think it's Officer Goodman, that wasn't charged in the Freddie Gray case. But Becky with the bad grades was trending. It was so hot on Black Twitter, and I mean,
I had to jump
into that little conversation. I mean, people were just on that, and I mean, people were upset because Black people were like, yeah, well, not just black people, because I did see some white people saying, you know, yeah, that's right, you know, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But, you know, it was a victory for black people because
this little girl
was complaining, even though people are saying that it was a lobbying group, like her dad got a lobbying group together, I think some people with his firm or something like that, whatever the case. To push this, so she was like urged or whatever the case is, she was complaining because she was not admitted to the University of Austin. University of Austin is a campus that always has some type of it's a hotbed for racial conflicts. I remember about a year and a half ago, there were some white students throwing bleach bombs on the Mexican and the black students. Yes.
Oh,
so yeah, geez. They keep some crap going on. Yeah, they were like putting bleach in like balloons and just throwing it on black people and the Mexicans. Yeah.
Imagine the kind of mindset to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's upset. She was upset because she was not admitted, and she said that because of affirmative action, she wasn't admitted because other people were admitted that had worse grades than her. First of all,
That's a lie.
Right. First of all, how do you know? Did you see their scores? No.
Right.
You didn't see their scores. Okay, you did not see everybody's scores that applied, I don't think. And number two, from my understanding, the girl would not have been admitted anyway. That's what the Supreme Court said based on her grades.
Thank you.
She would not have even been admitted anyway. Becky with the bad grades, you should have studied harder. Sweetheart, you wanted to go to University of Austin. You think your white privilege was going to get you automatically admitted into that school?
Mm-hmm. As Paul Moody always said, white complexion for the connection.
Exactly.
Not this time, though.
Her complexion did not get her the connection this time. And so Becky with the bad grades did not get admitted. Becky with the bad grades. Yes. And so that the whole Becky with the bad grades is a playoff of Beyonce's, a song on Beyonce's Lemonade album. I'm Sorry. It's a song called I'm Sorry. And in the end, she's saying, you better call Becky with the good hair. And so that, like, was trending on Twitter for a while because, you know, Becky is, like, how can you say? It's like the quote-unquote name for white girls. And so I guess, you know, she's like, you know, Becky, you better call Becky with the good hair. You know, call somebody else with that stuff. You know, don't come to me with that. So anyway, Becky with the bad grades was trending, and I mean it just took fire. It was so hot on Black Twitter, and then also Freddie Gray's case. Did anyone want to say anything before I move on to the Freddie Gray's case? Anyone have any comments on Becky with the bad grades?
No, I was just glad of the verdict. I really was. Me too. You know, it was about time for a victory.
No thanks to Clarence Thomas, though.
Right. No thanks to Clarence Thomas. Exactly. No thanks to him at all. So the Officer Goodman was not found guilty. And, you know, somebody should have been found guilty. And I think what has been said is that the Goodson guy, that was like the case that they thought that really would have won. So if they couldn't win that case, if they can, if those charges couldn't stick against him, then the rest of the charges, they're saying, you know, just may as well be dropped. So basically what I heard Cooper say is that they just didn't prosecute this case properly at all.
No, the prosecutor, no. I think she either had poor advice or didn't realize that you can't have these cops separately try because they're going to pull a fast one. And look what they do. They subvert the justice system by not having a trial by jury. They have a trial by a bench.
Yes.
And you have a constitutional right to have a trial by a jury. That's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have a right to have a trial by a bench unless you are a police officer. Now you find out that you can subvert the system, because it happened right here in New York. Amadou Diallo's killers were desirous of having change of venue, taken out of the hands of the prosecutor, who was black, first black prosecutor in New York City history, in the Bronx. It was taken out of his hands and placed all the way up in Albany, where there was this judge who was a patsy for the Fraternal Order of Police. And those cops were not even given a ticket for littering bullets. Not 41 shots, it was 42 shots, because I met the former detective who found a 42nd slug in the wall and had to get permission from the landlord, and gave him permission to go to the wall to pull the slug out. The next day, the whole wall was taken out. The phone was tapped. The wall was removed. And most blacks still don't understand that if you have a black prosecutor who's daring to go the right route to get a conviction, that person has committed political harry-carry, their future is null and void. So what she did, she put on a good front with her militant, very angry, very acid language, how she was using, how she was going to go after these guys, these police officers. No one is above the law. Talking real, real righteous. But she did not have her act together. Evidence was presented, was not presented. And then she had.
From what I understand, too, is her strategy should have been to have at least one or two of those officers turn on the rest of them, the other four or the other five, instead of trying to convict all of them. You know how they have somebody turn, just like they do the drug dealers. She should have done like they do the drug dealers.
Listen, we are dreaming. If you think an officer is going to turn on his own fellow officers, they have the Fraternal Order of Police that gives them, through their lawyers, the best legal advice to beat a murder rap.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they would not be, they would not advise their fellow officers to turn on their fellow officer.
Of course not.
They will
not think of it.
And so now, exactly. But now, also, they would advise, request a trial by the bench. And they would get, they would shop around for a judge that is not a just judge, but the opposite, and who is also known to be a patsy for the Fraternal Order of Police, which has a stranglehold on these judges nationwide.
Exactly.
Not too hard to find.
All right. Now, I want to talk about Jesse Williams' speech before we bring in Featherlight with Mind, Body, and Spirit.
Yes.
So, So, Jesse Williams, let me see. Jesse Williams gave a speech at the BET Awards, which I did not watch, but I did, like, later on that night, I woke up and looked on Twitter, and everybody was, like, showing the video of Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar, their performance, and then I started seeing all of this about Jesse Williams' speech. Jesse Williams
is an actor from Grey's Anatomy. He has a white mother, black father, very black wife. Power to
yes.
Jesse Williams. Very
exactly.
black. And you know what? I've seen like articles talking about, ooh, Jesse Williams, his wife is ugly, blah, 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 blah.
What?
All of this silly. Yeah.
Oh, my
They're
God.
They're saying she's ugly because she's not some, you know, biracial looking woman and all of this like some athletes and other stars do. You know, he has him a black wife like Denzel Washington. She's black, no question about it. And I think she even, well, I know at the award ceremony, she had her hair like in a curly, large fro. And he did acknowledge her and his parents. And
right.
I saw this article speaking about it. He didn't even acknowledge his wife. Yes, he did. Did you even listen to the speech? He acknowledged his wife and his wife first. I want to play this clip. Wait a minute.
This award,
I want to play this clip.
This is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. All right? It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize. Now, this is also in particular for the black women, in particular, who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves. We can and will do better for you. Now, what we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours. Now, I got more, y'all. Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday. So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich. Tell Rakia Boyd how it's so much better to live in 2012 than it is to live in 1612 or 1712. Tell that to Eric Garner. Tell that to Sandra Bland. Tell that to Dorian Hunt.
That was actor Jesse Williams of Grey's Anatomy. He accepted the Humanitarian of the Year award at the BET Awards last night. Williams paid homage to the unsung heroes in the fight against racism and also spoke out against police violence. Many people were moved by the speech, including Justin Timberlake, who tweeted out a series of messages that some say were out of line. First, JT tweeted, at Jesse Williams, though, hashtag inspired. It was his response to one Twitter user that got the most criticism, though. Timberlake tweeted, oh, you sweet soul, the more you realize that we are the same, the more we can have a conversation. But then posted this, I forget this forum sometimes. I was truly inspired by Jesse Williams' speech because I really do feel that we are all one, a human race. And following that tweet up with, I apologize to anyone that felt I was out of turn. I have nothing but love for you and all of us.
So anyway, Justin Timberlake, whatever, let me just finish reading some of his speech. He said, the thing is, though, all of us here are getting money. That alone isn't going to stop this. Dedicating our lives to getting money just to give it right back to someone's brand on our body when we spent centuries praying with brands on our bodies, and now we pray to get paid for brands on our bodies. There has been no war that we have fought and died on the front lines of. There is no job we haven't done. There is no tax we haven't they haven't levied against us, and we have paid all of them. But freedom is always conditional here. You're free, they keep telling us. But she would be alive if she hadn't acted so free. Now freedom is always coming in the hereafter, but the hereafter is a hustle. We want it now. Let's get a couple of things straight. The burden of the brutalized is not to comfort the bystander. That's not our job. So let's stop with all of that. If you have a critique for our resistance, then you better have an established record, a critique of our oppression. If you have no interest in equal rights for black people, then do not make suggestions to those who do. Sit down. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, and we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extracting our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, and stealing them, gentrifying our genius, and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like lines of strange fruit. Just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. Thank you. And that was his speech. Loved his speech.
I did too.
I've heard some people say that he spoke more about what we are experiencing as black people than Obama has said in 8 damn years.
In 10 minutes. Than Obama did in 8 long years.
And we keep making excuses for Obama, not realizing the fact the question should be raised, are we better off under his administration in the Democratic Party? Are we better off when you have white cops killing a 12-year-old boy, lynching a Sora sister? It goes from shooting a black man in the back, running away. And his only crime was he didn't pay his child support. But that white cop who shot him, he didn't know who this man was. And Eric Garner, he was right here in New York. That was Staten Island. I don't call it Staten Island, I call it Staten Island. He says 11 times, I can't breathe. The humanity of this cop named Pantaleo didn't come out at all. He just continued to talk to this man until he was dead.
Right. And, so the speech. Let's talk about the speech a little bit, and then we need to let Aja Featherlight come in with her mind, body, and spirit. What were your thoughts on his speech, Featherlight?
He touched so many areas that people are they're trained not to talk about, like ghettoizing our creation. You know, we talk about that in little quiet groups, but nobody wants to broadcast it. How they take what we do naturally, like Justin Timberlake and Elvis Presley and all these other people, they'll
Eminem.
Take what we do naturally, Eminem, yes.
Yeah.
And then they'll make a bank off of it, and then they'll still hobnose with us like, yeah, we want y'all, you know, boo, 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 boo. But then you don't get the injustice that we do, but you're going to imitate us. And like the women, how they imitate the black women, like, don't let one of them have a little extra butt back there, and all of a sudden she's like a star.
They're getting injections.
You know? Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And things that we can do and have naturally, they make a bank off of. So I was glad that he brought that up. I mean, I was glad that he brought up the fact that people keep saying, well, we better off than we used to be. He hit it on the head when he said, tell that to them. Tell that to them, the ones who got shot for nothing. You know?
Yeah. We have just as many black people just as many or more being killed now in 2016 as we did in 1892 at the height of the lynching.
Yeah, and check this out. Check this out, y'all. In this president administration, he has had 2 attorney generals. And not either one of them could get us justice. This woman who is now
not gonna
the
do
present
it.
Attorney General, she said the police are overwhelmed. She don't think they should be giving out the record of police incidents when they kill people. She don't think that they should be having their records. Police should not have keep a record of how many people they killed who are unarmed. And she is for the death penalty. And this brother, Williams, what he has done for those who got a ticking brain left, made his speech not just in there, and may it ignite why the organization called Black Lives Matter may it be truly illuminated for those who look like us but want to sit on the sideline because they don't want to upset their white friends or their connections to get those jobs those contracts where they can get a better recording going or something. Because you see, Jesse Williams has opened up a Pandora's box. And
there were many people upset about what he said.
Of course. And there are those blacks who are living in denial, so they jump on his wife. They'll jump on something that is so insulting and asinine.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how we roll. Rather than
have anything to do with the subject.
I mean, if they heard the message, what we have to do is understand. We understand that no one cares about black people. They abuse us, they use us, and because we never had political, I keep preaching this, we never had political nor legal protection. That's why the police officer knows that he can kill an innocent black man and never will be held accountable. I know of a black cop killed a black man right down in Buffalo where I live. Not one pastor, not one elected official had anything to say with this cop. Not only was he never indicted, he got a promotion at the same precinct. He's now a sergeant at the same precinct.
I'm sure.
And he came out of.
Well, yeah, they're rewarded for those types of actions. But I tell you one thing about Jesse Williams' speech, I hope that people can take away from it. Just understanding like exactly what he said about how this cultural appropriation carries itself out, how it's played out. Justin Timberlake, Eminem. Now, I have to say this. I have to get on us as black people because I watched show, and we've always done this. I watched that show. I think it's called The Art of Noise, and it's like a rap hip-hop documentary, and there are like some rap artists and there's different what you call classic hip hop artists that are speaking on this documentary. People like MC Light, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, just a number of people. And Method Man and what are those guys? What is it? Method Man and Wu-Tang Clan. And so I think it's I forgot which one of those guys. I want to say Redman. He's asked the question by Ice-T, who is like one of your favorite rappers or something like that. And he says Eminem. Eminem is like the hottest brother. He's the coldest brother. And I remember, and I was burned when I was done watching these award shows. Because I used to, oh my God, music connoisseur, that's me. I used to love watching the award show. I could tell you who was at the top 10 of Billboard, all of that. I was done with black folks in these music shows when they allow Eminem to be nominated as, I think, like best rapper one year.
Right.
No, I said, how the hell y'all sorry ass niggas, excuse my language, gonna sit here and let this white boy win best rapper? That's crazy. That's insanity. And so we allow that crap, and then you have these black artists that sit here and support that instead of rebelling against that. This is our craft. This was created in the hood as spoken word about our social condition.
Hey,
that's what the message was all about.
Yes.
Broken glass everywhere. That's what that song was about, our social conditions. And you should have been let it flip to some other stupid stuff with some white boy rapping.
The reason why these artists can do that and foolishly do that is because many of them are suffering from, as Queen Mother Moore, who was one of my mentors, always calls it, suffering from, for some in the advanced stages, oppression, psychoneurosis. And it's so obvious that the damage onto our brains, we still have not come out of that thing you call white supremacy. And the damage done to us, sometimes I believe, is irreparable, because here we are, the new millennium, and this man, Jesse Williams, there are those blacks who just wish he would just go somewhere and shut up and not dare formulate a movement. What pastor is going to come out of his pulpit, especially these megachurch pastors, and have this young man come to his church and began organizing and supporting him and having all the support he would need to pray that he would never have anything hurt, harm, or danger come to Jesse Williams, because this man here had to go home. He had to walk the streets, had to get to his car. He said enough to upset white supremacists and their black stooges for a long time.
For a long time. And I just have to give my hats off to Jesse on that. Before we go to break, I do want to bring up, and Feather Lie, I promise you, when we come back from break, I want you to go right into your mind, body, and spirit. I want to mention this story. In Louisiana, a mother received a call from her neighbor about her boys that had broken into a home. And the neighbor saw them bringing in their stolen goods. So the mother left work. She lived. She worked like 5 minutes from her home. So when she arrived to her home, she saw the her sons and their friends bringing in the stolen goods. So she spanked the boys. The police came and arrested this mother, jailed her. Thank goodness. A good citizen saw this story and bailed the lady out of jail. But we have to pay attention to this, because why is it that it is allowed for this mother to be arrested for disciplining her children? Because number one, if she didn't discipline them, then people would say, "Oh, look at that mother. Oh, she didn't raise those boys right. She didn't discipline them." That's the problem with black women. They have these children and they don't know how to take care of them. But then when you do try to discipline them, they have taken away parents' rights, letting you know finally that your children are wards of the state. That's what happens when you sign that birth certificate and have your child in a hospital. Your child becomes the ward of the state with a number, their bond for this damn for England and this country. And it's just a whole bunch of shit. I can just go into all of that crap, but I'm not going to go into it. The point of the matter is, this mother was arrested for spanking her children because they were committing a crime.
Of course. And what if the police had caught the children? We know what would happen then.
Hey.
You know, and then, like you said, in some states, a homeowner has the right to shoot to kill a home invader.
But
she's really trying to protect her children.
That happened here in Texas. With that case, I can't think of that boy's name now, but I remember when I moved here to Texas, this boy was breaking into someone's house. He was shot. The police called him and they beat him. And so half of the black community here was like, "Oh, you know, the police should not have beat him," and blah, blah. And I was all for it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm so sick of these police beating people, blah, 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 blah. But then when I found out this little joker was breaking into somebody's house, I said, "Hell no, I'm not going to march on that crap. He should not have been breaking into house in the place. And then come to find out the little idiot in a gang, and then once he went to court, this fool got out of court and went and did the same damn thing. Broke into somebody's house again. I said, "See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Just foolishness." And then he all on camera throwing up gang signs coming out the courtroom. I said, "Oh, no. I understand he got issues. I understand that. But my thing is, I'm not supporting that crap. I would support a mother like this that was trying to discipline her children." And, you know, that's just horrible. My heart goes out to her.
I hope she could find a zealous lawyer.
Let's look at the hypocrisy of this country. Because do you all remember when they had the Baltimore riot and this mother caught on tape on video slapping her son upside the head, right? Because he wanted to go and protest against police brutality.
But
she got all kinds of raves and applause, and news people were interviewing her, and the son was apologizing. I mean, this is saying, don't let them protest against police brutality. You know, you can beat the hell out of them for doing that. But, oh, you want to stop him from committing a crime? No. That means that we can't have him in our prison industrial system.
And you cut it.
That's how that goes.
Yeah,
you mentioned about
game.
Slave trade.
Yeah,
slave trade. Yes, yes, you mentioned
that's
slave.
A high crime.
We want him to go that way. We want him to go that way.
That's it, that's
Exactly. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and listen to Featherlight with her mind, body, and spirit. You're listening to The Lotus Place, and you can call in at 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound and press star 61 if you'd like to speak. And we will be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All right, and we are back here at the Lotus Place, and we are ready for Featherlight to bring us our mind, body, and spirit for tonight. Welcome in, Featherlight.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. This meeting, I'm having spirit, is called the Fourth Agreement. So, you know, last week we spoke earlier about books to have in the personal library. We named some books and some authors. So this is one of the wisdom books we highly recommend. It's a very small book. It's called The Four Agreements. It's by Don Miguel Ruiz. And let me spell that for everybody. It's Don, D-O-N. The middle name is M-I-G-U-E-L. M-I-G-U-E-L. And the last name is spelled R-U-I-Z, Ruiz. Don Miguel Ruiz. So it's a practical guide to personal freedom. That's how it's listed. It's a very small handbook, no more than 130 pages or so, and it will change the way you think and your whole world, really. And it's very inexpensive. For a new book, it's about $8. If you get it used, it's about $2.79 or less. So I checked it out. Now, before I get into these agreements, let me share this brief intro to help you understand why we need these agreements. What you are seeing and hearing right now is nothing but a dream. You are dreaming right now in this moment. You're dreaming with the brain awake. Now, dreaming is the main function of mind. Dreaming 24 hours a day. Dreams when the brain is awake, and it also dreams when the brain is asleep. The difference is that when the brain is awake, there's a material frame that makes us perceive things in a linear way, like a straight line in sequence. This happens, and this happens, and this happens. To sleep, you not have this frame, and you know the dream has a tendency to change constantly. So the dream of the planet is the collective dream of billions of smaller personal dreams, which together create a dream of a family, a community, a city, a dream of a country, and finally, the dream of the whole humanity. This includes society's rules, beliefs, its laws, religions, different cultures, ways to be, how to act, its government, schools, social events, and holidays, all of these things. We are born with the capacity to learn how to dream, and the humans before us teach us how to dream the way society dreams. The outside dream has so many rules that when a new human is born, we hook the child's attention and introduce these rules into his or her mind. The outside dream uses mom and dad, the schools, and religions to teach us how to dream. And this dream consists of certain agreements we have made, and many of these agreements are based on fear. The world as we see it is out of us. If you want to live a life of joy and fulfillment, you have to find the courage to break the agreements that fear based and claim your personal power. If we begin our see it as our agreements which rule our life, and we don't dream of our life, we need to change the agreements. So when we're ready, there are four powerful agreements that will help us to break those agreements that come from fear and deplete our energy. You need a strong will, but the transformation in your life will be amazing. Agreement number one, be impeccable with your word. This is the most difficult one to honor. It sounds simple, I know, to be impeccable. But it's through the word that you mask everything. It's the most powerful tool that we have as human. It's a tool of magic. You can create the most beautiful dream on your word, or your word or everything around. It can set you free or it can enslave you, depending how you use it. A person can say to a friend, I see the color in your face on people who have cancer. If the person listens and agrees with us, cancer, that is the power of the word. Pay attention, the word can enter our mind and change our entire belief system for better or worse. Impeccable means without sin. It comes from the Latin word peccatus, P-E-C-A-T-U-S, which means sin. And M-I-M means without. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. Sin. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Anything you do which goes against yourself, that's sin. When you are impeccable, you're not going against yourself. You take responsibility for your actions. You do not judge or blame yourself. It has nothing to do with moral or religious beliefs. It's common sense. Self-rejection is the biggest sin that you can commit. Being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy, and it means to use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself. The biggest lie is the one we tell ourselves. If you agree with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, the truth will manifest itself through you and cleanse all the emotional poison that exists within you. We have learned to lie in communication and, more importantly, with ourselves. Number two, don't take things personally.
I am so guilty.
So many of us are so guilty. Whatever around you, don't take it personal. Someone says you're lazy. Someone says you're stupid. Your hair is ugly. It is not about you. It is about them. If you take it personally, perhaps you believe it. And as soon as you agree, the poison comes through you and you're trapped in the dream of hell. Nothing other people do is because of you. All people live in their own dream, their own mind, and they are in a completely different world from the one we live in, the one you live in. When we take something personal, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. And that person is dealing with his own feelings, their own beliefs, and their own opinions. You eat all of their emotional garbage, and now it becomes your garbage. You set yourself up to suffer for nothing. Number three, don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. Mm-hmm. We think that somebody's going to do something because that's how we feel. The problem with that is we believe it is the truth. We make assumptions about what other people are thinking, what other people are doing. We take it personal. That's number two. And then we get upset. Mm-hmm. We blame them and react by sending poison into our words. Number one, we make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personal, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. Because we are afraid to ask clarification. We make assumptions. Then we defend our assumptions and try to make someone else wrong. You can create a whole fantasy based on assumptions. And when the truth comes out, the bubble of our dream pops, and we found out it was nothing what we thought it was at all. Number four, always do your best. Now, this last agreement is the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. Always do your best. Your best will never be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is right, and it's always changing. It's constantly changing. Your best is different when you're not well from when you're at the peak of your health. If you've got a bad cold, then just do your best with the way you feel. Don't try to overdo when you know you're not feeling well. Regardless of the quality, keep doing your best. No more, no less. When you overdo, you deplete your body and you go against yourself. And it will take you longer to complete your goal. And if you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustrations, self-judgment, regrets, all of that. And if you always do your best, there is no way you can judge yourself. And if you judge yourself, there is no way you're going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. So you do a lot. But always doing your best, or you will break a big spell that you have been under. Get this book. It will really change the way you see things, and it will change the dream that many of us have been caught up into because society has taught us how to dream while we are awake. Namaste.
Oh, namaste. Oh, wow. So, four agreements. I love that book, and it's just a small book. You could read it in a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I like the what is it? Be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one a lot. I wish I had the book in front of me. We really need to have like a whole book discussion on that, on those four agreements, because it's so powerful, each one. Could you just kind of just give us a little synopsis, just kind of run through it again, because I want to touch on some things.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Sure. Okay, so the first one is being impeccable with your word. And this is really the most difficult one to honor, because
It sounds really simple because most people think they are impeccable. You know, I'm impeccable. Tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. but the biggest lie we tell is the lie that we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we're not true to ourselves, then we're not being impeccable. We can say, oh, sure, I don't mind doing it. Damn, I wish I hadn't said that. Oh, being mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell with your word. It's something as simple as that, okay? Mm-hmm. It is through the word that we manifest everything. Words mm-hmm. are very, very powerful. They are magic. It's the most powerful tool that we have as human beings. We speak, you know. We can speak mm-hmm. into existence.
That's right.
Someone can say, you know, I really don't like your hair like that. I like it better the other way. And then you mm-hmm. kind of do one of those little fake smiles to them. You're like, But then that evening, the person will go home and they'll start looking at their hair.
Hmm. Yeah, because you have that in your head. You know, they said that mm-hmm. even if you yeah. don't even recognize yeah. it yourself subliminally.
Exactly.
It's there.
You have accepted that.
Yeah.
You have accepted yeah. that. And you start thinking to yourself, you know, I really don't like that either. I guess mm-hmm. don't really look as good as I thought. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
those words are powerful. Visiting somebody in the hospital who's ill, I heard a long time ago, and it really, really makes sense. You go to the hospital and you have a grimace look on your face, you know, because the person is ill, they got tubes in their nose and all that stuff, and you're like, you look kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this air, and pretty soon the person starts putting words and words because they're listening to your words. You're saying all the wrong things, you know, the things that you say to a person. If they take it in, they start believing that, you know. Well, the doctor yeah. say it's gonna be a while. The doctor say it looked like this. The doctor say, and then the next right. thing you know, you're believing all of that.
Right. And it's just like when they tell you that you have cancer and you're gonna only right. live for 6 months, and then you start yeah. getting everything in order, and then in 6 months, yeah. if you really believe that, then you will die. And it's just like when they tell some people, when doctors tell some people, well, you'll never walk again. If you just let them tell you that and you keep thinking, oh, well, the doctor said I'm never going to walk again, I'll never walk again, then you sure
right.
won't walk again. But
you
notice
what?
How, right, there are those people that say, no, I'm not giving up on myself, I'm going to walk again. And then some of them, they do, because they believe
do.
That, and they start speaking that, and they start believing that. And that's what I like about the whole concept of I am. Because it's like
mm-hmm.
you speak that, you speak what you are. You don't say, I want to, or I will,
or
I'm
wish.
Going to, yeah, or I wish, or I want, and all that. You say, I am
right.
this, I am happy, not, I want to be happy, I wish I was happy. No,
right.
I am happy,
right.
I am rich. Don't say, I'm one day I'm going to be rich. You know, we have a lot of times we say that one day I'm this or one day. No, say I am this right now. I
right.
am this.
Right.
Like not saying I'm trying. Like people say
right.
when you say I'm trying, it's too much like lying. So don't say I'm trying. Just say you are.
Right.
You
right.
are doing this. You know, speak it
right.
in the present tense, not something in the future. Not something
right.
in the past. Speak it into existence. I don't listen
yes.
to a lot of gospel songs, but I did like that gospel song. I can't think of the name of that group, the choir. But the song is, let me see. They would say something like, speak it into existence. And throughout the whole song, that's what he was saying. Speak it. Speak it. Just
mm-hmm.
put it in the atmosphere and speak
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's how, like, when we say, put it in
that.
The atmosphere, put it in the
right.
universe, put it out there in the
right.
universe, and the universe has no choice but to conspire to make that happen. So you just
right.
just speak it. So I do,
yeah.
I really love that be impeccable with your word. And I like what you said about, like, if someone asks us to do something and we're like, oh, I really don't feel like doing it, but you go ahead on and do it anyway. Look, it's time for people to start doing what you need to do for yourself. That's
exactly.
I said this year, I have got to stop putting other people's dreams and projects ahead of mine. I have to do what I have to do, because people, they'll get you caught up in their whole little thing and what they're trying to do. And it's not that they're inconsiderate. It's just that they're thinking of themselves, and they're trying to accomplish what they're trying to do. And so they're trying to build their team to get done what they need to get done. But you have to make sure that you have your dreams and plans and projects that you want to do, and you put those first. I don't call that being selfish. I just call it being smart. I think that is being smart and thinking of yourself and what you need to do, not forgetting other people, but just making sure that you do. Like, you don't get up in the morning and go brush nobody else's teeth first. You brush your teeth first.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
You don't get up and go say, oh, let me go and brush my coworker's teeth. Let me go brush my husband's teeth or my wife's teeth. No, you brush your teeth first.
That's right.
Right.
You do.
Okay.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
I even tell you to sit on the plane, put the mask on yourself first.
Damn.
They
sure
do,
don't they? They've been telling
us
that forever.
Then
put it on the child. Put it on the next person. You know, make sure you can breathe. Because you fall out. And
who you going?
Right. Yes. Who can you help? Help yourself first.
Self-rejection is the biggest sin that you can commit. So being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy, like you were just saying, and it means to use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself.
All right.
For yourself.
Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Number two, don't take things personal. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personal. It is not about you. It is about them. These people that are making all these comments about Jesse, they have issues with themselves. They have a hard time accepting the truth. They don't want to face what is really in front of them. So they're going to throw up this smoke screen. Oh, his wife is ugly. Oh, he's got a wide mom. Oh, this, oh, that, who can he talk? They're putting up a smoke screen because they don't want to actually see what is in front of them. And a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
So we can't take things personal, what other people say about us, because it's about them. It's all about them. As soon as you agree with what they're saying, then that means you believe it. And then you take this poison inside of you, and then you trap in this dream of hell because you're going, oh God, and you worry about what somebody else did. They would have somebody else. And it's not about you. But you're taking on what they've said, and then you're letting it kind of control your life. This little nonsense that they're talking about. Nothing other people do is because of you. They are living in their own dream. They're living in their own world, own mind. And they're in a completely different world. Everybody's not living in the same world that we're living in. I mean, they're walking around, you see them. You may go to school with them, you may work with them, but they're in their own mind, they're in their own perception. And you can't make them see things how we do. You can tell them, but you can't make them. We can tell one person the same thing over and over and over and over again, but if they're locked into their own dream, their own world, then they're not going to come out until they're ready, if they ever get ready, because they're in their own world. And when we make them personal, we make the assumption that they know what is in our world,
and we try to impose our world on their world. And a lot of them are just not going to have it. And you're banging your head up against this wall. Right. Because that person is dealing with their own feelings, they're dealing with their own beliefs and their own opinions. The beliefs have been drawn to the head by other adults, maybe their mom, maybe their dad, and they're not going to let it go. They're not going to let it go. And so, if you take it personal, then you end up eating their emotional garbage, which is just what it is, and now it becomes, part of your garbage. You set yourself up here. So number three, don't make assumptions. And that's,
Feather Light, you're going in and out.
Okay.
So start again with number three.
Okay. We have assumptions about everything. Is that we believe the false. When we make assumptions about we believe this is the truth. This means we about what other people are thinking and actions about what other people are doing, and we take it personal. We take it personal. And when it goes the way we thought it should go, then we get upset and we blame them. And I think we're respectful. And that leads to misunderstanding, big drama. I mean, you're not speaking, yada yada, all because you missed the discussion. Now, there are many cases, and people make assumptions that.
I don't know what's going on, but you're still going in and in and out.
Oh, okay. I don't know either.
And I really want us to hear everything you're saying because it's so important. I don't know what's happening, but just try it again. Maybe if you move your earpiece around or something, or maybe move to another area where you are.
Okay. We make assumptions about what you're doing. Did that sound too?
It's still breaking up. I don't know what the problem is. I tell you what, maybe we have to do like we did the last time. Now I'll ask Scotty about it. I'm not sure. Hang up and call back in. Let's go to break and then come back with the part three again because it's just going. It's a terrible connection. I don't know. Maybe it's the rain out here or something. Yeah. I was hoping that people could still hear you. But then I don't want you to be talking and nobody can really hear because it's going in and out. So let's just try you hanging up and calling back in, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All six! Murderers!
All six!
Murderers!
All six!
Murderers!
All six! Murderers!
I'm out!
right now. It's disgusting. And then they want us all, it's going to be many more Freddie Gray, many more Tyrone West, many more Anthony Anderson. Thanks to this bullcrap judicial system. It sucks.
But listen to this verdict. Not guilty on all charges. Freddie Gray is dead. What are they telling you? That the police are not to protect and serve the people. Look at Tyrone West. Look at Anthony Anderson. They don't even charge the cops who killed, who murdered them. They are saying...
legalized genocide.
That's it.
Legalized genocide. That's it.
Maybe no one tended to do anything criminal, but not for anyone to be charged or something happened and justify the death of Freddie Gray. That's what the problem is. Things happen and they're saying it wasn't criminal, but it's rules that are wrong. The rules, the use of force, the use of the seatbelt, maybe it wasn't intended, but someone is dead. Someone's son is dead, someone's brother is dead, and we do not want it to happen to anyone else's family. The rules and the process has to change.
I feel heartbroken for the simple fact that all I have left is this, like, hope. And it's not in our judicial system, because at the end of the day, it fails us over and over. But I'm hoping that change comes somewhere within our community, as we establish something to basically kind of dismantle this corrupt system and have laws in place that civilians can be safe. I have no faith in it. Because every time I try to have a tad bit of faith, it gets snatched away in instance like this. And it's horrible.
This is illegitimate.
This is illegitimate.
This is one more reason.
This is one more reason.
Why now is the time.
Why now is the time.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
To get organized.
To get organized.
For an actual revolution.
For an actual revolution.
All right, and those were some people speaking out against the verdict last week. No charges for Officer Goodson. I believe he was a driver of the police van that was transporting Freddie Gray, who was wrongfully detained and arrested, subsequently died from his injuries that occurred at some point in time by being in contact with those officers. So someone should be found guilty. Somebody is culpable. But, of course, once again, no charges. So anyway, it's just not even a surprise anymore. But let's go back to Featherlight. I think we may can hear you a little bit better now. Let's see. You on the third agreement. We're speaking about... the four agreements from the book, The Four Agreements.
Okay. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything that we do, the interactions that we have with other people. And the problem with that is that we believe that these assumptions are the truth. And so we make assumptions about what people are thinking, what people are doing, what they're going to do. And then when it doesn't happen, we take it personal, which is the second agreement. And we get upset. We blame them. And we react by sending poison into our words, which is the first agreement. Be impeccable with our words. So we are oftentimes afraid to ask for clarification. We don't want to go that far. We just want to just like, well, they should know. They should know. Mm-hmm. So we misunderstand and we take it personal, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. Everybody's world, the way people perceive things, is not the same way that we, you, I perceive things. Because we are dreaming our own personal dream. Everybody is not dreaming the same thing. Everybody's mind is not in the same place. Everybody's belief is not the same. My belief system is different from the next person's belief system. I may believe this about the Bible. this person may believe that about the Bible. This person believes that the justice system is fair. This person may believe that the justice system is not fair. So we make assumptions based on our belief systems. We make assumptions because we don't get clarifications about things. And when we make these assumptions, we defend them and we try to make someone else wrong. You can create a whole fantasy based on assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when the truth comes out, when it really, really comes out, like that's not what you thought, then the bubble of our dream pops and we found out it was not what it was at all, and then we're all upset.
Yes.
Now, this is mostly in interactions with people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. It could be interactions with your partner. You just assume that they were going to remember your birthday. You assume that they were going to be faithful.
Right.
We make assumptions because this is the way we feel. This is how we look at things. But everybody doesn't look at things the way we do. So this is this agreement is saying just don't make assumptions. Get clarification.
Get clarification. Be upfront about it.
Be upfront.
List your expectations and your desires. Just be open and communicate from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Definitely. I think we make a lot of assumptions with people, and in particularly in our relationships with people, not just intimate relationships, but I would say like friendships, work relationships. We make these assumptions, like we expect for our jobs to say give us a pay increase because we worked so hard, or say
exactly.
You did a great job because you did a great job.
Right.
Just different things like that, and like we expect for, say, like you said, our mate to remember this or remember that or do this or do that, but they may not know that that's what you desire, that's what you want, that's what you expect. So I think you have to really be upfront. That's why I say you have to take your time. I'm learning myself too, just to take your time and talk to people. Be friends with them. I was in this discussion a couple of weeks ago, and someone said that they don't believe in the whole, oh, we should be friends first before a relationship. And I was like, wow, I really disagree with that. You know, I'm just thinking this to myself as they were speaking. And I'm like, I think that that's like a big problem. You know, we don't take the time just to get to know a person. We always go into it like, yeah, I want to be with this person, I want to be intimate with this person, I want to be in a relationship with this person, we're going to be together. But you don't even know if that person wants to be in a relationship because you haven't even talked to them. So you think that because you go out on a few evening outs, dates, or go to the movie or dinner or whatever, you think that that person is interested in you and only you, and you know, things like that. And you're making an assumption. That person, just because they went out with you Friday, the next Friday, and the next Friday, then you think that y'all in a relationship. No, that's not the case. They just went out with you. You just went
out. Yes. And then you go out somewhere, and then you see this person all huddled up with someone else, whispering in their ear, laughing. And you think, They're cheating. How dare he? And some people actually walk up to the person like, who is she? The guy is looking at you like, what?
Yeah. You know? Just because we went out three times don't mean we're in a relationship.
Right.
What are you talking about? Have a seat, woman, man.
Yes.
You know, tripping.
Yes.
Don't do
find that. Find your voice to ask for what you want. Everybody has the right to tell you no or yes, but you always have the right to ask.
Oh, yes. Closed mouths don't get fed. I always say that.
And likewise, everybody has the right to ask you, and you have the right to say yes or no.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if you don't understand, ask.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Be very clear and upfront with what it is that you're thinking, expecting, all of that. I agree. Do not make assumptions. What they say, when you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me.
That's right.
The old adage.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I want. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And listen to a person. They'll show you. Watch them.
Right.
Listen to them.
Yes.
They'll show you exactly who they are and how they are if you just don't make the assumption that this person is this, this, or that. Just watch them. And it goes right back to my premise. Take your time and get to know a person. Just take your time. Stop rushing. We rush so much.
Yes.
We try to make things happen that, I guess, are not supposed to happen right then and there at that time, or just not supposed to happen at all. It's another direction, and I guess maybe sometimes we try to force things into this particular box, and it's not even supposed to be in that box.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Indeed. So that's the don't make assumptions.
Right. Right.
For agreement. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, also, like if you decide, say for instance, you decide to live with someone, mm-hmm. and you make that agreement, it's always better to make that agreement with someone who is exactly the way you want him or her to be. Don't, you know, plan on changing that person just assuming, well, you know, once we live together, things are going to be different, because I'm pledging myself to them, and if they don't act right, then they know that I'll leave. Don't make that assumption. Find someone who you don't have to change at all. It is much easier to find someone who is already the way you want him or her to be instead of trying to change that person and mm-hmm. assuming that that person is going to change for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's another assumption that we make.
Yeah, like, you know, I used to hear people say, I can change him once
right.
he's me. I
yes.
can change him. He'll want to settle down. He'll be with me. I can make him stop cheating. If we have a baby, he'll stop cheating. He'll stay at home. If I lose
mm-hmm.
weight, if I gain weight, if I grow my hair
mm-hmm.
this way, if I cut it, if I grow it, if I do this, look.
Yeah.
If they don't like you the way you are,
then bye-bye.
That's not the person for you. Nobody should try to change you. One thing I do like that Maya Angelou said is, once you've left home, you've been raised. You have
mm-hmm.
been raised. Don't let anybody else try to raise you. I had there was a guy that I was involved with. He thought that you remember David. David thought that he had raised me. And I had to let him know. I was like, I have been
mm-hmm.
raised. I have a mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles,
mm-hmm.
cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I have been raised.
Mm-hmm.
I have been raised. If you don't like the way I've been raised, then you can
mm-hmm.
find somebody else.
Right.
You can find
there
somebody
you go.
Else. I'm not saying
there
that I'm perfect. I may not have been raised right in your eyes.
Exactly.
So I don't need you to re-raise me, honey. Not at this age. You can't baby, you can't re-raise me. Mm-mm. No. So the fourth one is always do your best. I love that.
Always do your best.
Mm-hmm. So what say you on that one? Always do your
best. Sometimes, if you don't want to do something, it's best just not to do it, because you're not going to do your best. You're not going to put your heart into it because you didn't want to do it in the first place. And so you're not being honest with yourself. You're not being impeccable with your word, because you said you were going to do it, but you really didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do your best. This is things that people ask you to do, you
mm-hmm.
know. It's just better not to do it, because you're not going to do your best, because it's not going to make you happy, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do your best. Also based on your present condition. I mean, sometimes people are, you know, under the weather. It could be a bad cold. It could be, you know, a touch of the flu, and they're still going to try to put out just as much as they did when they were feeling super. That's wrong. That's wrong. You do the best based on how you are at that moment. You know, because if you over, that's overdoing it. If you overdo it, you're going to deplete yourself. You're going to deplete your energy. Then you're going to end up judging yourself. I didn't do as good as I could have, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to blame yourself, you know. And then that's going to cause a whole lot of other issues, you know. Mm-hmm. Just do the best you can with what you have to work with at that moment in time. Yeah. You know, people tend to get that kind of misconstrued. You know, things are always changing. Things are always changing. If you've had a bad night and you wake up with a headache, just do the best you can with the way you feel. You know what your best is based on. With the way you feel. I did my best. When you can honestly say I did my best, then you don't have any regrets. Mm-hmm. You remember that movie, Meet Your Black? You live your life with no regrets.
Live your life with no regrets.
With no regrets. You did your best.
Yeah.
Always do your best.
Always do your best. Be at your best. Do your best. Give your best. Do your best. Be the best at what you do.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
Absolutely love it. Great. Well,
and don't just do something just because you think somebody's going to reward you, you know, for it. Mm. Do it because you want to do it. You know, don't be attached to the reward.
Yeah, the reward.
You're not, you know. Right. Yeah.
Do it because it's the right thing to do.
It's
not
exactly.
Because what you think you're making gain from it.
Right.
Right.
Then you won't have any frustrations about it. You won't get bored. You're having fun. You're really doing it because, you know, you just want to do it.
You just want to do it. Absolutely. I love it. Four agreements. And give us the author's name again.
The author's name is Don, D-O-N, Miguel, M-I-G-U-E-L, Ruiz, R-U-I-Z.
Yes.
R-U-I-Z. And there are some agreements that we made when we were children, because these are agreements that our parents taught us and the agreements that society, you know, taught us. And we grow up living these agreements, thinking that that's, you know, the real deal, when actually it's not, you know. And as children, we don't have the opportunity to choose our beliefs, you know, based on these agreements that we made. But as children, we can't really rebel because we're believing what our parents tell us. We're believing what the adults tell us. We're believing what the pastor tell us. You know, some people grow up and they say, well, my dad said this and that's just the way it is. That may not be the way it is. That's what your dad said at that time. And maybe he believed that, you know.
Right, because that's what he knew at that time.
Exactly. That's what he knew. And that's what society had told him to believe. That's the agreement that was put upon him. And so he's putting that same agreement upon you. Here's a good one here. this is a, there was a, an agreement at one time accepted by most of society, maybe not all, but a good deal of society, that the church put out, mostly, some of you parents as well, homosexuality is a sin. This was a, an agreement that was accepted by a lot of people. Homosexuality is a sin. So people grew up thinking, oh, it's homosexuality. Oh, sin. Bad. You know, that's an agreement that you accepted. Okay? Now, those pastors that preach that homosexuality was a sin, they're getting married in their own church to the male music director. So the agreement... The agreement has changed. Oops. Let's roll back. The agreement has changed. Now it's okay. Okay? I thought you said that was a sin. Well, it's not a sin anymore. Mm-hmm. So those are that's an agreement that we were told as children. And we accepted this agreement, and we grew up thinking, oh, it's bad. And then now, it's okay. You know, that's an agreement. Many children are told there's the white Santa Claus that comes down the chimney. He brings you toys if you're good. If you're not, you don't get any toys. How many children who live in the projects have a chimney, but then they still were told this story? Yeah, I know. I told my daughter that, too. I accepted that agreement because that was told down to me. There's the Easter Bunny. There's the Tooth Fairy. These are all agreements that everybody accepts. Everybody says, oh, you know, this happened, you know, on Easter, and then there's the Easter Bunny. And nobody really says, what does the Easter Bunny have to do with Jesus rising on the third day? Oh, it doesn't matter. La, 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 let's go buy an Easter Bunny. You know, this is an agreement that we accept. And I remember saying, look, we're not going to do the Easter Bunny thing, okay? We're not going to do that. And this dollar that's going to be under your tooth when you under your pillow, that's me. I'm putting that dollar there. There's no tooth fairy, you know. So those are some of the agreements that we accept as we come into this world that are put upon us by other adults. Christopher Columbus discovered America. And the pilgrims and the Indians were happy together and sharing and loving. Oh, the pilgrims gave them toxic blankets to kill them off and da-da-da-da-da. The Indians were bad people, yes, and so the cowboys had to kill them. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. The cowboys were the bad people. So these are agreements that we are taught. We're taught as we come into this world, and then we have the option to say, wait a minute, as we become adults, wait a minute, I don't think I want to accept that agreement anymore. I'm not with that agreement anymore. I'm gonna diss that. I don't like that agreement that was told to me that I've accepted all these years. Now, I must admit, when I was going to church, you know, as a, you know, younger person, going regularly, like, you know, like you're supposed to, you know, with your mom and dad and all that good stuff, I would sit up in the church and I would listen to the pastor talk about hell and damnation, and if you sin, you're going to be sent to hell and you're burned for the rest of your life, and God is good. God loves everyone. But you're going to burn in hell if you sin. Okay, so what kind of sin do you have to do to burn in hell? So all these things were going through my mind, like, well, what about the people that kill a lot of people? Are you going to be down there with them if you stole some bread? Because you said stealing was a sin. So what about? So are all these people going to be burning together? So in my mind when I was younger, and also the one about... sacrificing your child, like I forgot what his name was. He had to say he was going to kill his child to believe. Okay, I as a child, I was like, that don't sound right. You know, why you got to kill your child to say that you believe? You know, to say that you're loyal.
Right. Huh? Then it's all a joke. God come back and say, I was just kidding. Don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't kill that lamb
exactly.
in the bush.
Exactly. Exactly. The knife is raised up in the air. You're ready to do it. You know, you're ready to do it. And then he's like,
No.
Psych. Psych.
Yeah.
I was just testing you. I was just testing you. I was just kidding. Yeah. I didn't. Now, that agreement I didn't accept. I thought it was something wrong with me. Because I didn't accept that. A lot of things in the Bible I didn't accept because it just didn't make sense. You know, why this, why that, you know. But you said, over here you said this, then over here you said that. I was just, no. So we have the option to accept certain agreements as we become adults. And to make our own agreements like these four here, and we don't have to. Another agreement is that a lot of African Americans and white Caucasians, I prefer to say they're not white, Caucasians have accepted is that if the black people would stop just killing themselves and you know learn to get along and you know black on black crime. Black on black crime. Mm-hmm. You know, that's agreement, an agreement that a lot of our people have accepted, and they don't want to look at the fact that there's white on white crime, there's Mexican on Mexican crime, there's Latino on Latino crime, you know, Italians kill each other all the time. You know, but they only want to focus on what has been set forth to them as an agreement. I want you all to agree to the fact that your problem is you. You are the problem. I don't accept that agreement. I don't accept that.
Beautiful. Thank you. Powerful. The four agreements. Thank you.
Be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take things personal. Right. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best.
Always do your best. And one thing that people can do at any time is go on to the Black Talk Radio Network and donate to the page, donate to Black Talk Radio Network so that we can keep these shows coming to you on air. Do that. We need you to do that.
BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com.
Yes.
BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Black Talk Radio Matters.
Yes, okay. It matters. And if it matters to you, like Jesse Williams said, this is for the real organizers and the real activists. We're bringing you this news and information, insights, thoughts, talk, black talk, community news, keeping you informed, abreast, and aware of our social issues and concerns, and uplifting people in so many different ways. This is not about hating anybody. It's not about putting anybody down. This is just about the truth. This is about us loving each other, at first ourselves, loving ourselves and loving
100%.
Others. Yes, as human beings. We are humans, so I don't dislike anyone. I don't hate white people. I don't hate Mexican people. I don't hate Nicaraguan people, Cuban people, Dominicans, Haitians. I love people, period, as human beings. What I don't like is a system that controls people in such an evil and insidious way.
And divides people.
And you have people that are caught up in that foolishness and in that hatred because of what they've been taught and told. Like you said, the agreements that they may have made have been reared and raised in. So
right.
This is about love And I think that that's a great note to end on. It's all about love. And I love you. And namaste. Namaste, fellas.
Namaste. Namaste.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Featherlife. Thank you, King D. And thank you, listeners. And we will be back on next week. Peace and good night. Namaste.
Namaste.